Buck Sturdley in the 38th century.
Go ahead, fight it back. The Buck Sturdley Show.
Hello, boys and girls. Once again, it's time for Buck Sturdley in the 28th century. The story of things to come and what might happen in the 28th century.
Man, we found my ray gun.
Buck and Wilma are now entering a rocket
ship. How do you work it?
I don't know. I guess we don't.
Is that heavenly music we hear, or is that Ken Wilson playing?
That's the Ken Wilson.
That ain't heaven. No. Hold up, Sturdy. Which way they go?
Hey, that was something extra there.
Is that a bad note you've got on there?
Bill has had the piano tuned, I think, since last week.
What is this about celebration for John Day, Bob?
Yeah, John Day, well, John, his wife, has had a baby.
Oh, is that so, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you know about that?
Not more than an hour ago. Well, I think we're the first to break this exclusive.
This exclusive? Well, Drusilla Larson, bless you for coming up.
And I think it's just wonderful.
And why don't you tell us all about John, you know?
Well, John has made many pictures, as you know, Dick.
I know that.
And I'm just up in my soapbox, that's all. And by the way, when you see Daryl, let me know.
Daryl who?
I forget.
By the way, I did hear Miss Luella Parsons last night.
Did you?
And she had a story on it towards the end of the program that I thought was very funny.
Worthy of re-relating?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned that some producer had just had a baby. They've been married, she said, 12 years, and they had their first child.
Uh-huh.
He is the producer of Sitting Pretty.
Well, I wonder if Luella had a little note of humor in her voice when she said that.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, it is. We are in a Hollywood mood today, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm just in from Hollywood, Bob, where I've just made several new pictures.
Just fly in, did you?
No. No, I didn't. I came across
about,
the chief.
Tell us about some...
Me bongo. Me...
These new pictures of yours, what's in the making? What are we...
Well, Bob, we just did what you might call the story of food. And
that's a new Technicolor production.
Yeah, Grub.
Grub, yeah.
A beautiful picture.
Sydney Fat Street.
We trace food from its very beginning right up to the present day.
You didn't
crisis.
Happen to bring along any transcribed trailers that will be used in connection with the preview of this film, did you?
I believe I did, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Wait a second. The following is transcribed. Grub!
You laugh!
You'll cry!
You'll wish you stayed at home!
The story of...
Grub!
The story of food from the Western Plains!
See Hanson Humphrey Go-Kart!
See Tallulah Boathead!
Sydney Fat Street
as
a lovable
senorita. In Grub, babies cry for,
men fight for,
women love for.
Grub, the story of hope. Black and White.
Coming next week to Murphy's Open Air Theater, Back Pasture, New Hampshire. And now, Bing Crosby sings.
Thank
no, he doesn't.
I'd love to sing first. No, I won't sing.
You're not singing today. I understand you sung on Saturday.
Yes, I did.
I wasn't able to hear the program.
It was great. I had a lot of requests.
A lot of nice comments about it today.
Did you really?
Nice. Yeah. That's a nice bright day to start the week off.
This is the hottest September 13th, or will be, on record.
Yeah, so?
By the time the sun sets tonight, just think, we will have set another record. It will be the hottest September 13th in recorded history.
Gee. We're really breaking it.
Old-timers say hottest they can recall.
Mm-hmm. We'll be having pictures of kids at Revere Beach lost with no clothes on except a policeman hat.
Hub in mass exodus to escape heat.
Yeah. Old-timers say...
Weatherman sees relief in sight, however.
I suppose. We'll have some cool weather before long.
Cool Canadian air.
And Canadian ace air.
Right-o.
And I think we should do something about this weather picture, maybe drop down to the Weather Bureau.
Why don't we drop in there and take a look at some of these seismographs and Fredangerichtses that they have down there. Listen...
Buck Sturdley.
No, this is transition music.
If that is transition music...
Well, that's wind. Thunder. We better mention
what
these sounds are.
Program? Hold up, steady.
He must have a friend listening who he's auditioning for.
Are you auditioning for something today, Ken?
Mm-hmm.
For wind effects?
The new musical weatherman show.
Oh, how about
Kenneth Wilson?
Isn't that wonderful? Well, there we are at the Weather Bureau. Welcome.
Boy, look at that over there, hey.
Do you have any questions?
to ask to see at the Weather Bureau.
What is this intricate-looking instrument here?
That's my watch.
Oh, I beg your pardon. This thing over here with the fan on the end of it.
Oh, that's how we judge the humidity in the air.
You mean the velocity?
If that fan melts down, it's pretty humid. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah?
We check it.
What are your prospects for weather for the next couple of days? We got a hurry?
Well, we'll have a good hot day today. We'll have a little relief when the sun goes down. There'll be a bright northerly wind blow up. There'll be some offshore winds blowing on the shore. And tomorrow we expect a little relief.
How about that?
In the form of precipitation.
How about the cranberry bogs?
That's rain. What?
Cranberry bogs.
The cranberry bogs, they'll pretty generally have the same kind of weather we'll have up here.
That's so?
Yeah, don't worry about any frost or nothing.
I'm not worried about it a bit.
Well, what you ask for, you know what I mean?
Well, just happen to be here.
Now, this little thing here is how we can determine tremors. Well, all over the earth.
Determine what?
Tremors.
Tremors?
Like if the earth rumbles, it makes a little mark on this here gadget.
Hey, that's pretty good. Hey, look, it's rumbling now, I guess, because it's making a lot of marks here.
Well, it must be an earthquake. Let me see. I would say it's
about 4,000
miles south of the South Pole.
Wow. You think we should worry about it?
Not in your life. No, it's about 4,000 miles northeast of the Fijis.
Wow, okay, then. That's pretty good.
See, you can't stick me on anything like that.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
How about flying weather? Will I have my VFR today?
Well, yes. I'd like to say that it'll be VFR today. However, you can make only one final landing. You can go up as many times as you want, but you
just
come down once.
Okay, well, thanks anyway.
Wilco.
Roger.
Over.
Out.
Right. Wow, I'd love to have Ken Wilson play some music and if Bill Green will play along, all of that.
I don't think they will because they're not speaking to each other again today.
Oh, is that so? What's the matter with them now?
Well, Green wanted his microphone closer to the piano so they couldn't hear so much organ. And
well, that handball.
Wilson didn't quite go for the idea. I don't know. I saw Bill in here just before the program went on, and I don't know whether he moved the microphones or not. But,
well, how do you like that?
I think we'll hear both instruments. Let's try them.
Wait a minute. Just a moment, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, don't get
don't
anxious.
Don't be so eager. Relax. I mean, that's the first thing you musicians should learn. You will always play better if you are completely relaxed and at ease.
Don't fall off.
I mean, if you're up on your toes, you can hardly play the organ. So I'd suggest relax. Now, what is your first number,
Sit
John?
Sit back.
Remember that you're playing.
We're all your friends here, and don't
they
you mind.
Play my song.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Nothing I can do about it at this late date.
All right, here they are. Are you completely relaxed?
Don't you mind.
Oh, wait a minute, Ken. What are you wearing? Snowshoes today?
Let's try that again.
Left quad hopper.
You know, Frank, that he plays the organ. There's these little wooden stakes that run across there, and he hits awful things with them. Well, when he hits them right, but when he has on snowshoes like that, you just heard what happened.
Kind of difficult for him.
All right, Mr. Wilson.
That's good. Now, the life and loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by E. Carrington Lump. Today, we find Linda and David in a new setting. High up in the grandstands at Wonderland Revere, they sit expectantly waiting for the first race.
Well, excuse me, announcer. I think you better inform the listeners first that they won't see any race.
Oh.
Wonderland closed Saturday night for the
season.
I
can't change the copy. I'm sorry.
Can we make it the West Peabody Speedway, for goodness sakes?
I'm sorry. It says
something will be going on there.
It says Wonderland Revere. That's what Lump wrote. I can't change it.
Well, all right. So,
sitting high up in the stands, expectantly waiting for the first race to run at Wonderland, we see Linda and David, and we hear Linda speak.
Oh, David, here we are, waiting anxiously for the race to Wonderland.
Yes, I don't think we'll have to wait much longer.
Why, David?
I think the first race is just about to be run.
Do you, my darling?
I have a schedule here.
Have you, sweetheart?
That's the nicest thing I ever said to you.
David,
the schedule says first race, 7:45.
Yes, my sweet, we're here early, too.
We are. It's
such good seats.
Only 1:15. I wonder who will win the first race. I wonder who will win.
Oh, David, I don't know who will win the first race. I wonder who will win it. The first race, David.
Oh, let's get out of here.
All right.
Now, it's just that first scene there. Then we have to...
We go cross town. Meanwhile,
cross town in an expensive penthouse-type apartment, the two detectives talk excitedly of the crime about to be committed.
Hey, Jane.
Yes, Lucille.
You think it'll be a crime committed that we can talk excitedly about?
Supposed to be a crime committed very shortly within the next 24 hours.
We'll probably talk excitedly about it when it happens.
I should imagine we'll probably solve it.
Will it be a murder or a holdup, a daring holdup?
Well, Lucille, I don't know.
Well, I don't know, Gene, either. I don't know from nothing.
Sitting
here in this expensive penthouse apartment is...
smoking these 25-cent cigars.
Doesn't add up to me.
Doesn't add up to me. I think we ought to find the criminal.
Well, who do you suggest we go after? You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know.
Could we go
down to Charlie's Tavern, I suppose.
Yeah, let's go down there and have some of his grand spaghetti.
Yeah.
Hiya, gents. Well, it be.
Hey, spaghetti.
Yeah, spaghetti for two.
You ain't heard about no murders or nothing, have you?
No, but I'm expecting to hear you two guys talk excitedly about a murder probably to be committed in the next 24 hours or so.
Well, that's what we're planning. He and I are a couple of private eyes, you know what I mean?
A couple of private eyes.
And if anything happens, like a crime or something,
we'll talk excitedly about it.
Something will happen.
I see what you mean.
Something will happen probably in about 24 hours.
It'll probably happen in 24 hours or so.
Well, look, get us that spaghetti, will you? You know what I mean?
Hey, Jim. Plateful's of spaghetti.
I thought this was a cooked order, you know?
Yeah, I thought this was a cooked order.
We're going to have a crime.
It is cooked order.
We're going to have a crime.
You'll probably have a crime, won't you?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a crime we're supposed to talk excitedly about, Lucille.
What?
The one that we're going to commit.
Maybe let's talk excitedly about it.
Oh, boy.
Boy, in this grade, we're going to shoot this fellow, you know?
Real exciting.
Yeah. Hope we find out it's us.
Let's eat the spaghetti first.
All right, go ahead.
Mighty tasty.
You're not eating it
right.
Oh,
that's
your
necktie
I mean?
I got on there.
I was going to say, you're not eating that right.
Oh, I guess I ain't.
It's okay. It's a cheap tie. If it tastes good, eat it.
Yeah. Let me try some spaghetti on it.
How's the spaghetti, gentlemen?
Tastes like it's got a tie on it.
Tastes like neckties on it.
Well, that's what it's supposed to taste like, I suppose.
Excuse me.
Yes?
You two fellows, detectives?
We're both detectives.
Follow me. I got a crime you can talk excitedly about.
When's it going to be committed?
About 24 hours.
You better go, gents. This may be the big break you've been looking for.
Thanks. The spaghetti was good, Ed.
Spaghetti was fine, and so was the necktie. So
long.
Oh, meanwhile...
Uncle Jim, Ned, Billy, Grace, and the 333rd Infantry?
Field Artillery.
...are marching through deep, dark, dank Africa. As we look in on them now, no one is speaking.
So we return to San Francisco in the little waterfront hideout of Joe.
Just the other day, I heard a fella say...
How did that get in there?
Give me mission, Bellwine.
Supposed to go 115?
No, it's supposed to go 125, but I'm giving it
jumping early. Jumping the gun a little bit.
Pardon while I ray. I like that, don't you?
It's a wonderful song.
That was made into a popular song, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was the name of that popular...
Prince George Hotel.
No.
It was.
No, boy, it was another E.T.
Same one. They stole it.
You want a better name?
I think.
No, it's two different songs. You're confusing.
What was the song
you're
about the Prince?
The Prince George, or something like it. At the Prince George Hotel. That doesn't even rhyme. No, you're wrong.
Well, we
no, but if you are going to Brooklyn, stop off at the Prince George Hotel and tell them the old salt sent you.
That's right. They'll be happy to.
Yes,
and now, are we going to sing a song today?
No, they played my one song that I wanted to
sing. Why don't we have a gay, happy community sing?
Why don't we sing Through the Viaducts?
Oh, all right. Well, we don't have the words to that, though.
Well, why don't we sing... Why don't we go into our second act? We had a phone call this morning requesting that we go into our second act about Salome.
Well...
Or the Salome.
Okay.
Musical opera.
Mr. Wilson is always only too glad to do one of these. You'll remember, friends, sitting here in Box 84, the first two acts didn't prove to be very much. The curtain broke down, and the second one, the cast went out on strike, I believe. Is that right?
Unfortunately, the organist stayed on.
The organist is still here. The prima donna...
Honey, too.
Is all set to give out with the aria from Act 3, Scene 1. She's tuning up now.
You can put the rose in the garden.
Probably hear her. She is standing at stage
left,
which, of course, is her right.
Garden.
Her voice re-echoes with timber. And she walks in and amongst the garden.
Bright and early, I plucked the flower in the garden.
The translation of this phrase is that she plucked a flower in her garden this morning, bright and early. Then she seems to make a mistake. She seems rather embarrassed, standing there at the same time she plucked a garden. The organist is
fine.
She excuses herself and goes back into the store.
It's woolen underwear. It's too hot for this thing.
The organist picks the cue right up, though, and she continues with the second verse. Three members of the audience walk out.
In the garden.
And more will follow, no doubt.
The garden.
She seems to be stuck for
behind
a lyric.
The hedge.
Well, we've learned at least where the garden is. It's behind the hedge.
And...
Hold up, bulkhead. Take to the hills.
Uh-oh, something seems to have gone wrong there. The cast is rapidly dispersing, leaving the stage. The prima donna doesn't seem to have seen the...
Put the rose between my teeth.
She has put the rose between her teeth. She's standing there and seems to be in some sort of trouble.
I can't get it.
She's trying to sing, obviously, but I don't think that the organist seems to have lost his place in the music, too.
I think we ought to discontinue this act.
Oh, there goes the music falling all over the floor, and now he's bending over to pick it up. Yeah. Whoa, we're running into all sorts of trouble. I think we'd better just let the curtain fall.
Righto, let it fall, will you, Ken?
Well, somebody caught it. It didn't fall away.
Could you afford that, Ken?
Well, that takes more power to make one of those noises. You know?
Just the other day, I heard a fellow say...
Give me Mission Bell wine, because...
Mission Bell is fine.
Well, now...
Pardon while I rave about the money that I save. Buy a Mission Bell wine, because Mission Bell's fine.
Drink it. That's the second chorus. And yet I say, give me Mission Bell wine. I wonder if we're as good as the...
No, we're not. Here are a couple of professionals.
Three of them, probably.
It sounds like
musical background.
Four.
Just the other day, I heard a feller say, give me Mission Bell wine, because Mission Bell's fine. Pardon while I rave about the money that I save, buying Mission Bell wine, because Mission Bell's fine. Drink it red or wine.
wine to tempt you, and the price is right. The price is right. The price is right.
You bet it's right. Delicious, delightful Mission Bell wine brings you top quality at low, popular prices. That's because every step from grape to glass stays in the hands of the Arakalian family. Yes, sir, pure California wine at its best.
That's why it's every day you'll hear everybody say, give me Mission Bell wine, because Mission Bell fine, because Mission Bell fine, because Mission Bell fine.
Produced by K. Arakalian Incorporated, California, New York, and Chicago.
In Cucamonga.
And they have a warehouse over in Chelsea.
I think they probably do over there. We were supposed to get a baseball announcement in.
You,
Mary,
really?
Just before you come up here, I know you have a good recipe today.
No, I don't. I haven't come prepared with a recipe at all.
Well, I'll give you time to get one together then, if you
can. All right, Bob. If you want to talk about baseball.
Yes, there's a telegraphic play-by-play description of that game between
the
Will it
be a telegraphic play-by-play today, Bob?
Cleveland Indians.
Excuse me.
Will, yes.
Uh-huh.
At Cleveland, 2:15.
Well, it'd be, Bob, anyway.
Be at Cleveland.
Oh, yes.
So set your dial at WHDH.
Oh,
the game between the St. Louis Browns. The Cleveland Indians at 2:15
what
today.
What time, Bob? Should I tune in?
2:15.
Right-o.
For fun in the baseball quiz show. Now, wait a minute. I'll do this in the Norman Prescott style. And for fun, the baseball quiz show. Play ball with Jerry O'Leary. Be tuned to WHDH 2 o'clock this afternoon.
What's that? What is that play ball?
Huh?
What is that play ball?
Quiz program.
Oh, is that terrific
baseball
type show?
Yep. Now, how about this recipe that you had all prepared and ready to give with?
Excuse me, Bob, for butting in here, but sure. She did have a very good question, and I think you should answer it.
What's
what
that?
Is fun on the play ball show? I mean, would you
I
care to go into
I listen to the promotionals. I don't listen to the radio.
I mean, is it a fun show? Is that what
it's
it is?
Packed with fun.
And laughs and mirth and everything.
Laugh a minute.
Uh-huh. And what time should I tune in for that?
2 o'clock today.
Uh-huh, okay.
But not every day. I'd suggest you consult your local newspaper.
Speaking of baseball and all, this is the big week for baseball.
Good
this
week.
Is next week. And I'd like to go out on the limb right now.
All right, will you
help
use
me
this
out,
one
Bob.
Right here?
Right here, be great.
It doesn't look too strong.
Be all right.
You may fall down.
Stop, worry about me. I'll be okay, Bob.
Everything's all set, huh?
I'm going to go out on the limb.
Yeah, and you're sure you'll be all right.
Okay.
You're safe. Oh. Are you still out there?
I wasn't going to say anything that was important anyway, Bob.
I don't believe
you. I was going to say something about the Red Sox and the Braves, but after that limb went on me like that, I don't think I will.
Yeah. Mary, won't you
wake
come
up
over here, please?
Nobody sleeps.
Mary?
Yes, Bob?
Now, don't you have something instructive for this afternoon?
Yes, I have. Lentil soup.
Well,
what's the matter, Bob?
Nothing. You sort of caught me unaware.
Yes, there's nothing like a little lentil soup.
No, I guess there isn't.
Because you can't stand too much of it.
No, that's right.
But if you like lentils and you're a soup fan,
uh-huh,
then believe me, you'll go for lentil soup.
And for fun and lentil soup,
tune in and play ball.
Yeah. Now, how do you go about preparing this delicious...
Well, you scrape up a lot of lentils.
Mm-hmm.
Put them into a...
Do you grow lentils?
Depends on
there?
The size of your family, Bob.
Yeah.
And just... pour in the water and let it come to a boil.
Mm-hmm. Not much to it, huh?
Not a thing to it.
Makes a good
hearty meal,
uh-huh,
for growing boys.
Well,
yes,
that's what I need.
And for boys who aren't growing, it's pretty good, too.
It won't stop them, in other words.
No, it won't.
Uh-huh.
Not like smoking.
And you'd recommend maybe crackers and peanut butter?
Excuse me,
Captain
Camels, did she say something?
Yes, she did, sir. She was mentioning that the soup won't stunt people's growth like smoking will.
Uh-huh. And her name is spelled how?
M-C-G-O-O-N.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Hey, I wonder who that was.
Gee, I don't know.
You know Ray?
He looks like an attorney.
Yeah, he did look kind of... He said he was from...
What
Camel.
Did he say?
Yeah, look out the window. He's riding away on one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't have to walk a mile for that one.
Well, I guess that fixes my wagon for a while.
I guess it does.
Well, too bad, because I was going along good. I
think you may be in a little bit of difficulty.
Well, it's too bad, Mary.
Yes,
you have our sympathy.
Yeah.
Doesn't she, Bob?
She has our sympathy.
Mm-hmm. So long, Mary.
Bye, Mary.
I'm pretty scared about all this.
Well, don't worry about it. Things will turn out.
They usually do, don't they, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Have you played two songs yet?
Yes, I...
No, I was asking Bill and Kim.
Oh. No, I haven't played one today.
Do you want to play the melodeon?
Yes, I think I'd love to play
all
the
right.
melodeon. I haven't played it. So. Rudy, push it over here for me,
yeah.
Bob.
Where
you want?
Right over here.
Right here.
All right, now, you've got your music.
Beloved ballad, I Love You Truly.
You're going to play I Love You Truly?
Yes.
That's one of your favorite request songs, and here she is at the melodeon. Get the tremolo work. Something wrong with
something
that.
Something went wrong with my melodeon. Well, ever since I had that generator put in, you know, I used to play it with wind.
Yeah. And now you... Mr. Wilson is jealous. He says you use sails, but you don't.
Mr. Wilson has the musical education that I don't have.
Yes,
certainly for him to laugh at me is not proper.
No, it isn't.
Because if I had his opportunity...
That's right.
I'd probably be the biggest organist player in the world.
Sure, you'd... probably be up at some other radio station.
Well, I could probably be playing organ stings for some soap opera.
Either that or down at Boston Garden or someplace.
Something like that. So, well, Mr. Wilson, to you, sir.
Well, I guess
excuse
you
me,
got quite like
a little problem developing
brush
here.
Off there, cold shoulder. Let's let Mr. Wilson play. Huh?
All right.
And Mr. Green, too, of course.
Oh, that's adding insult to injury. Thank you, man. Oh, good song, boy. Matinee with Bob and Ray will be on the air again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Music, Ken Wilson and
just
Phil Green.
Bye.
Don't worry about it.